So today, the fourth, this is the last of our talks on this third picture, seeing the ox, right? The third ox herding picture that we've been discussing this month. And in this last session, as we've been doing in previous months, this is really more about you. I will try not to talk too much. I have so many thoughts, but I will try to curtail them to what I feel is useful for the process of unveiling how the picture has affected you. So today is about your own responses. I'm going to start by bringing up the picture because, you know, some of us may have very clear responses already. Some of us may have attended previous talks this month. And have a clear idea of this picture, how it affects us, what it means to us personally. But many of us may not. And every time I sort of go back to the ox herding pictures, I kind of come anew to them. So if you're like me in that sense, I want to give some space to sort of cultivate the answer to that question, how the picture has affected you. So I'm going to start by sharing my screen with the picture on it and also the verse that goes along with that picture. Can I get a thumbs up if you can see the picture seeing the ox? Yeah, okay, great. The verse along with it. I'm just going to pause for a moment. My invitation now is not to look at this picture with your thinking mind and to cultivate words right away about how you feel about this, but just to open your eyes and let in the sensory input. Just let it pass through you. There we go. Now, I just want to offer a slightly different thing also. I want to go through the first few pictures because one thing that occurred to me as I was thinking through this picture is that, here, I'm going to make sure it's visible.
Hello, how are you?
One thing I want to make sure about, one thing I had when I went through these pictures is that I don't see these pictures as discrete objects. You know, if I look just at this third picture, I see something here, but and it affects me in a certain way, but it affects me more deeply when I go through the flow of the first few pictures. So I'm going to start at the top here. We started with this first picture, searching for the ox. And here it's all about the ox herder. He's searching. If you read the words here, they're words of despair. My strength failing and my vitality exhausted. I cannot find the bull. Right, that's the tone here. And it's all about the ox herder looking around, moving to the second picture. The ox herder is still front and center. He's looking. Things are getting better, right? You know, these traces can no more be hidden. There's fragrant grass. And then we come to our picture for this month. Oh, this is different. Lauren mentioned this at the beginning of this month. There's no ox herder in this picture. And after she said that, that's the first thing I see. Here we have the bull. There's this moment of maybe something like, ah. I'll read the words for this month. I hear the song of the nightingale. The sun is warm. The wind is mild. Willows are green along the shore. Here no bull can hide. What artist can draw that massive head, those majestic horns? So there's this stark change. It's almost to me like a gasp. But it's also mysterious, enigmatic. The head isn't seen. But there's something here. It's what we've been searching for. But what is that now that we found it? Looking forward one picture. This is really about next month's picture. Okay, we're going to get into a struggle with this bull. Nothing is entirely settled, even though it felt peaceful in that third picture. This is kind of what's ahead of us. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. We'll talk a lot about it next month, that fourth picture. But I did this because there's a flow here. And I won't say much more about it now because I want you to get a little bit of time with this picture, having seen that flow, what's before it, what's after. And while you're looking, I want to read a poem. This poem is called Oceans by Juan Ramon Jimenez Mantecón. He writes, I have a feeling that my boat has struck down there in the depths against a great thing. And nothing happens. Nothing. Silence. Waves. Nothing happens? Or has everything happened? And are we standing now, quietly, in the new life? I have a feeling that my boat has struck down there in the depths, against a great thing. And nothing happens. Nothing. Silence. Waves. Nothing happens? Or has everything happened? And are we standing now, quietly, in the new life? Some questions. In this flow from the first picture down to this third picture, where is their struggle? Where is their ease? Have you been here before in this picture? What experiences connect you with it, if any? Okay. So coming back for a moment, I'll share a few reflections that I had and things that others have shared also about this third picture. Again, hopefully in the service of evoking anything in you. So I spent some time trying to intellectualize this picture. You know, I started with, despite all the advice I'd been hearing from our guiding teachers, to just let it sit with us. And, you know, I started by thinking like, oh, what is the bull? You know, first of all, that question, you know, that has consumed me. Even as of yesterday, I kept thinking, well, what is the bull? what consistent thing is the bowl from the first picture to the second to the third to the fourth all the way to the tenth? What words can I put on this bowl that I can hold on to? And, you know, the more I've talked to others and the guiding teachers and the other local Dharma leaders, you know, I hear slightly different things and I think slightly different things myself. You know, I've heard it's the spiritual path. The bowl is the spiritual path. I've heard it's the true self. I've heard it's the mind. And I realize the issue I've had is that I'm trying to think of this in some kind of modeling way. You know, like my regular job, I'm an economist. I model things. You know, I have equations with variables in them, and I wanted the bowl to be a thing that I could take from one picture to the next. So I'm letting go of that now. I'm calling the bowl for now the spiritual life, or maybe the true path. Right? So this is the quest to find that. This is our first glimpse of it in that picture. Right? Lyndall mentioned in her last talk that this picture goes by several names. Here we have seeing the bowl, right? That's the way it's described here. And I think she pointed out that in other versions of this picture, it's called the first glimpse, right? And she mentioned that she liked that, and I like that too. This is our first glimpse of what this spiritual life might be. Now, my personal experience of this, you know, this picture has the connotation to me. I'm going to put it back up on the screen. So this picture has the connect. Can you still see it even though I have notes on top of it? Give me a thumbs up if it's still appearing. Okay, great. This picture has the connotation to me of a revelation. You know, after those first two, I'm not in this picture. The Augsburger isn't in this picture. Bum. We've been searching for this bowl. Here it is. Ah. But for me, you know, in my own glimpses of the true spiritual life, the true self, whatever you make of the bowl, this wasn't dropped upon me like a revelation, you know? Last month I shared that in my very first retreat, I had this really, like, you know, earth-shattering experience of revelation or awakening. And, you know, I couldn't speak for a lot of the retreat. I had this sort of feeling of joy running through my veins, and it consumed everything else. And, you know, it felt like this revelation. But the way I see it now, I was really in the second picture then. I was seeing the footsteps. And I don't think it's that important whether I was in the second or the third picture, frankly. You know, as I said, this is all kind of a flow. But maybe closer to what I think of as my first view of the true spiritual life was afterward. Okay, I came back from this retreat. Whatever that joy was that was coursing through my veins, the inability to speak, well, I came back to earth. And, you know, I started attending this Sangha in DC regularly. And my first feeling was just huge disappointment. You know, this was so ordinary. You know, there are all these people sitting in the room with me, and, you know, most of them were government employees. And I was just like, oh man, I've had this, like, you know, mysterious experience at this retreat in California on the coast. And here I am back in DC, you know, surrounded by my policy people. I was in this policy world at that time. And, who am I? Who are they? This is all so ordinary. It was a little bit like what that poem is describing. You know, you bump against something in your boat in the deep. And then what comes afterward? Nothing. Right? You're back there. You know, there's, you know, you go back to your life, and you're doing your real work at this point, but you don't know it maybe. And I think it's only afterward, in retrospect, that, you know, I would have looked back and seen, oh, it was during that period afterward. It was during the several years after that epiphany feeling, you know, a revelation of a retreat, that I actually started to see what the true spiritual life was. And, you know, the moments in which that view came to me were not this revelation. They were these fleeting moments that often occurred during like an otherwise inauspicious meditation. You know, it might have been that just a few minutes earlier, I was thinking of thoughts of planning my day. And just a few minutes afterward, I might have felt restless. But just for a moment, something would have cracked open between those things happening in a meditation. And it would have felt more like a tremor than an earthquake, you know. But then after many years, these tremors having, you know, slightly shaken the foundation several times, I looked back and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm in something different. I think I'm now in something that I could call a spiritual life. And, you know, it's like the end of that poem, the Ocean's poem, you know, oh, maybe subtly we've entered a new life, but it's in that subtle way, not that, you know, aha way. So when I see this picture, this looks like a revelation, and it sort of viscerally reminds me of the feeling of the retreat. Oh, here I see the thing. But then my actual experience, right? It's not quite like what's described in this picture, this encapsulating moment of discovery. It's more that this view unfolded for me very gradually over years, you know, after initially striking that great thing in the depths of the ocean, maybe. I want to read one more poem. This is this, you know, we often do it. We've been doing it at the end of the month, a creative sharing. For me, that comes through most in poetry, and not the poetry I write, but the poetry of others. So I'll read one more poem that to me is an expression of how I feel about this picture. It's called The Second Music by Annie Lightheart. The Second Music, she writes, "Now I understand that there are two melodies playing, one below the other, one easier to hear, the other lower, steady, perhaps more faithful for being less heard, yet always present. When all the other things seem lively and real, this one fades. Yet the notes of it touch as gently as fingertips, as the sound of the names laid over each child at birth. I want to stay in that music without striving or cover. If the truth of our lives is what it is playing, the telling is so soft that this mortal time, this irrevocable change, becomes beautiful. I stop and stop again to hear the second music. I hear the children in the yard, a train, then birds. All this is in it and will be gone. I set my ear to it as I would to a harp." Okay. I wanted to pass this to Jerry. He has something to share as well about his reflections here, and something that is meant to evoke in you whatever this can evoke, whatever this picture can bring in. Jerry?
Yeah, thank you, Arv. I really appreciated that. I really appreciated how you brought in the past and seeing this whole thing as a journey. I kind of struggle with what is that pole? What's that supposed to be? It doesn't always, you know, work well with my tendency towards, you know, concrete, linear, I want to get a handle on this thinking. But I would say one thing that this evoked is just looking at, you know, this process of being on a journey. I almost see it in retrospect more than I see it moving forward. And in retrospect, I can imagine a time where it was just that bull out there. And, we had this discussion with the LDLs about what's this evoked. And, some were very elegant. Some of the LDLs are very eloquent in their description. And to be honest, flat out honest, what it evoked, it was no bullshit. That's what came to mind. I didn't want bullshit. And that arises from my raised a Catholic, and without disparaging Catholicism at all, it provided a very, I think, helpful ethical foundation for me, which, but it did not provide me with a sense of, well, what's this life all about? What's creation? What's the beginnings and endings? What happens after death? What's God? None of that stuff was answered, and we had beliefs about it. And I came to a point on the way to Easter Sunday Mass, sophomore in high school, in college, and I said, I don't believe this. And I turned around and went home. And I said, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter whether there's a God or not a God. It doesn't change what I do in life. The ethical foundation is going to work regardless of the form that a God may or may not take, regardless of what happens, whether I'm eaten by worms or I have some sort of lasting thing. So it evoked, this idea of, I want to see for myself. And that, and Buddhism offered that, for what it's worth, but I'm still seeing, it's a ehipasiko, see for yourself. So that appealed to me. We're all kind of on a journey. We're all kind of making our own sense and navigating this territory and, often bumbling along. And, that bumbling along is kind of a concept that kind of I ring true. And there's a, so in terms of sharing this morning with some sort of creative sharing, which the thing that came to mind about that was there's a character. He's Nasreddin. He's a Sufi sage, kind of Sufi fool. It's kind of a combination of two, but you always have a sense that he's bumbling along, and there's some wisdom in his bumblings. So I want to read something after one of his stories, and maybe this is familiar with you guys. This is the lost key story. A man is walking home late one night when he sees an anxious Mullah Nasreddin down on all fours, crawling on his hands and knees on the road, searching frantically under a streetlight for something on the ground. Mullah, what have you lost? The passerby asks. I'm searching for my key, Nasreddin says, sounding very anxious. I'll help you look. The man says, and joins Mullah Nasreddin in a search. Soon both men are down on their knees, under the streetlight, looking for the lost key. After some time, the man asks, Nasreddin, tell me, Mullah, do you remember exactly where you dropped the key? Nasreddin waves his arms towards the darkness and says, over there in my house. I lost the key inside my house. Shocked and exasperated, the passerby jumps up and shouts at Mullah Nasreddin, and why are you searching for the key out here in the street? Because there is more light here than inside my house, Mullah Nasreddin answers in a casual manner. And, I just like that story. You start looking where it seems easy, and rather than where it makes sense. And there's kind of an interpretation of this. I'm going to read that on this guy does interview. These stories are seen as having many meanings. Its message for me and many others is that the key or answers are to be found with the house of ourselves. It is a dark and confusing place to look, but keep looking and exploring. So it's so easy to look outside in the light and see all the things that look like the solution. religious beliefs, opinions of others, material things, attachments to other gurus, etc. There's no shortage of them. So I'll thought I'd offer that this morning. And I'll turn it back to you, Arv. And again, thank you. That was, I really appreciated what you offered this morning.
That was awesome. There's no better way to turn it over to everyone than to say, well, you know, we've shown you what's outside the house, but maybe the best thing you can do is to look inside the house now, right? So this next part of our meeting today, our journey together in the Sangha, will be breaking out into groups. And the idea here, you know, has been, you know, maybe you've brought something with you today, like a song, a piece of art, a poem, in order to share a creative expression. But, you know, maybe you've brought your thoughts and ideas. Maybe you don't have anything. And, you know, just listening to others even in these groups is enough. You know, you don't have to come in here with something that, you know, is an object of beauty or anything at all, really. I would encourage you not to leave just because you haven't brought something or haven't brought something that you feel is good enough. It can be a moment just to discuss and be present, right, with whatever is in the group that you're in. Of course, it's fine to leave if you aren't feeling it, if you have other commitments, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll give a moment for anyone who does wish to or need to leave before we break out into these groups. Otherwise, these groups will be about 15 minutes, and then we'll regroup and go for questions.
Okay, everybody back up.
Yeah, so we have some time now for anyone who wants to share anything that came up in your rooms, being sensitive to anything anyone else shared, of course. But, you know, from your own perspective, it would be wonderful if you shared what's come up for you. I'd love to hear it. And you can do this, maybe the best way to do this is to use the raise hand feature. If you know where that is, you can click reactions at the bottom of the Zoom, and then you'll see an option to raise hand. That way we can go in order. But if you can't do that, then we'll, if you're unable to do that, we can also just, you can unmute and we can find that out. But I see that Julie has raised her hand. So Julie?
Hi, yeah. What came up for me, by you showing that the next picture, it kind of put things into perspective. As a flow, and I saw the picture, our current picture, as like a snapshot of hope and faith, and kind of that calm before the storm, where you realize what you want to do or the path you want to take or what might be right for you, but before you have to do all the work and before things get hard. So I appreciate you showing the next picture, even though I was like, oh no, I don't want to look ahead, but it made a lot of sense, and I like that that peaceful moment where you glimpse what you want or what's the right path for you. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Julie. Yeah. That was exactly my feeling too. It's like, oh, okay. You know, so sometimes if I see one of the pictures, I'll mistake it for something it isn't until I see what comes right after it. Yeah. You know, if I hadn't seen all 10 of them, I might've thought at first, oh, the bull. Okay. This is, you know, this is the lightning strike. This is enlightenment. You know, no, it's not enlightenment. There's more work to be done after this. This is that glimpse. So yeah, I appreciate your sharing that. I'm glad it was helpful for you. It certainly was for me.
So I can share from our group.
Yeah, Judith, please.
Well, what we ended up emphasizing in our group, I think, is how different people's reactions have been to all of these pictures. And for me, it's been this particular picture. What I keep focusing on is that it's only partially perceived. And that to me, it represents all the things in my life that I am only at the moment partially perceiving. And that's a big part of the path, is that things get revealed in time. You know,
yes.
As you continue on the path, but it's just, and some, for some people, it's been different every week, you know, the way they see the same picture. Yeah. And so it's like, I guess the emphasis is we don't have to feel like we have to all see the same thing.
That's right.
In the picture.
Yeah. I really appreciate you bringing that up. That was a large part of my journey with this picture, was, you know, like it to bring something up. Lyndall had shared her retreat experience, when she spoke last time, and she had identified herself. And when I heard it, I really resonated with what she described in her retreat experience. As, oh yeah, yeah, I had a retreat experience like that. And she had identified it as her, like, being in the third picture. And I was thinking, oh crap, I've messed up, you know, because I talked about the retreat last month, and I talked about it as being the second picture, and I really fretted about this for a while. And I a couple of things occurred to me. One is that, you know, it changes for me over time. You know, I'll look at the same picture and I'll feel a different thing. I'll look at a different picture and I'll feel the thing I felt before. The other is that, you know, these are discrete moments in time. These pictures, they're 10 pictures, but it's describing a flow. You know, maybe I was in picture 2.5 at that retreat, and maybe Linda was at picture 3.1. I don't know. You know, like it's a process for one thing, and it hits you differently every week. You're absolutely right. I really like what you said also about the fact that it's not fully revealed, right? In this picture, the bull's head is not seen. And that was the first thing that I thought about and, you know, spent time thinking about. And it was present with me a few weeks ago. And somehow it's not what was present, you know, today, you know, which is an illustration of what you're describing. So it wasn't the thing I focused on today, but it's absolutely there, and it's absolutely something to be reflected upon. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Claire.
I also really liked that you presented the next picture. The flow helps me so much. And this picture continues to be for me just happy, welcoming. Like, it's, you know, it's there. Like, it's not the whole thing, but there it is. And there's something about that ox that is such a friendly shape. And yeah, it's just, I just feel really happy and hopeful when I see that picture. But then it was interesting to me that the story about looking for the key in the light, that brought up so much like worry for me, that, or in fear, like I don't want to go off alone into the dark and search. Like, I can handle being in this wild place and just seeing a glimpse of the ox, but I don't want to go off alone into the dark. That feels like, no.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I love that story too. You know, I didn't even know until Jerry read the interpretation what direction it was going to take. Was Nasruddin doing the right thing by looking in the light, or was he supposed to go into the dark and, you know, doing the foolish thing by looking outside? Yeah, it's a scary thought. The only thing that I'll say is, it's that conflict. It's that feeling of, oh, I don't want to do this, or oh, have I been looking in the wrong place, or oh, have I been externalizing, you know, looking for other people's ideas, what, you know, what I need as opposed to my own. It's that tension and that discomfort that, at least in my experience, often leads to something profound. You know, it's almost, yeah, I don't even know where it goes, you know, when I feel that tension, but it's almost, you know, it's a discomfort that leads to something good, is my hope for you, and it's certainly the thing for me. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we're near, it's 11:26, and in order to end on time, I want to pass it back to Jerry for any announcements and a closing. Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Appreciate your offerings. And again, thank you, Arv, for your talk. Just some things which we usually kind of end our sits with in the morning, or it has to do with, first of all, Donna, you know, it's, you know, we share, you know, this morning, and there's certainly a sharing of teachings, and there's an invitation for sharing Donna. And so I'm going to just put a link in the chat, and let me see if I got this. Yes. I'm going to put two links in the chat. One is about upcoming events, and another is about how you can share Donna with the teachers and Sims and the LDLs.